We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. There have been some queens crowned in the WNBA out of the city of Chicago. The Chicago Sky are your 2021 WNBA champions. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, and we are here courtside on the Her Hoop Stats podcast network to chop it up. Gabe, wow, the season is completed. The Chicago Sky did it in four games. I think we predicted that, but the Chicago Sky won it all.
Yeah, we predicted that on a show that I messed up the recording of, so no one saw that. But we were right.
Oh.
We were right.
I just remember saying it. We both said it in four. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we said Chicago in four, both of us. Although I did think Phoenix was going to take it to five. Like, truly, I thought that was going to happen. And up until the fourth quarter, I was looking good. I was looking good because they were up 9 points and they lost the fourth quarter 26-11.
Boy.
Ah, boy.
Boy.
I mean, I hate using this word. And I don't believe in like clutch gene or any of this, but like, did Phoenix choke? I don't know.
I've told you time and time again, just being in games as a player and a coach, like just how the momentum can automatically shift. And that's what happened with Chicago. I mean, I think they felt the energy in the building. Wintrust Arena was rocking and they just caught on to that vibe and didn't look back. And it's always tough on the road. So I don't think there was like a collapse or, you know, a folding in of Phoenix per se. I think it was more that Chicago laid it down. Like they were just like, this is our game. This is our moment. We're going to do it. It's now or never. We don't want to go back to Phoenix and have to try to close out on the road. Let's make it tough for them. And I think it was the defense too. I mean, we're talking about the run that they went on to get back into the game and win it, but it was because of their defense, and it was their defense in game three. It was, you know, they just did so many things right down the stretch in terms of their overall execution on both sides. So did Phoenix miss, like all five players miss a layup down the stretch, like Diana Taurasi said? Yeah. Was that a shock? Yeah. Some of them are wide open though. But I think it was the buildup of that moment that had them, maybe they did collapse a little bit in some of those moments. They did. I'm just going to go with yes. Sorry for processing my entire thought.
No.
I think it was half and half. I think some of it was Chicago feeling it was their time to strike, but then it was also Phoenix playing not to lose.
Yeah. No, I think that that's the best way to put it. Phoenix, they it's not, I don't think they choked. I don't know, so I don't know what I mean by that. I just think they did collapse because I think they just have a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah.
And I think when you have that pressure, they were kind of forced. They weren't forced to. They thought they were forced to move faster. They thought they had to rush some of those layups. And a lot of them, like you mentioned, tough looks. You know, so they miss. This is a tough stat. Phoenix was 2 of 10 on shots from within 5 feet in the fourth quarter. They were 3 of 18 overall. They missed their last 11 shots of this game.
Oh, man.
Tough look. Tough look for our gals in Phoenix. But there was a lot of tough shots there. Like those shots within 5 feet, there was plenty of hands. There were some times where, I mean, I think one of them, like Brianna Turner, was under the basket, tried to get out of the basket. There's another one where she was just moving a little too fast on the alley-oop, and the alley-oop was just a tiny bit. And those sorts of those sorts of execution things, hey, maybe you can overcome it when you're calm in the second quarter. In the fourth quarter, when you're moving fast and you're thinking, you know, we got to put this away or whatever's in your mind, it becomes a little tougher. So it was a mix, like you mentioned. I think there was poise from Chicago, but definitely a lack of poise from Phoenix. And I understand why they were so upset after the game. I would have liked to have them do media, or at least like what I really would have rather done is like, just let us know you're not going to do it. Like, you know, we showed up. Dude, just let us know, hey, like we're not going to do it today because we're heartbroken. And I think everyone would understand. But regardless, I do understand why they were so heartbroken because it was there. It was there for the taking and they didn't take it. Let's talk about Chicago. I mean, Chicago is, I don't know. I don't know how to put this team because they're so, they did not have this in the regular season, this sort of energy, this sort of buzz, this sort of poise. But I think, did you always feel like they had it in them?
I think so. I mean, when you look at the ebbs and flows of the Chicago Sky season, you know, that 1-8 moment at the beginning, you know, without Candace Parker and Allie Quigley on the floor. But then after the break, I mean, I think you saw some flashes of what we thought this team could be when they're all healthy. And down the stretch, they kind of hit a little bit of they hit a little bit of a speed bump in terms of that momentum that they had gained after the Olympic break started. But for me, I mean, just looking on paper, yeah, that's combustible. If that all is on the same page on the same day, that's a problem. And that's what happened. They were all on it on the same day and they each starred in their role. And I know that that's a little cliche to say, but when you know what your role is for the team, so credit James Wade on that. This is what we need from you. This is what we need from you. And he went down the line and told each player that they had to do specific things. And they did that to the best of their ability. And that's why they have the crown.
And a hell of a coaching effort from James Wade.
Yes.
I mean, Sandy Brundell is a really good coach in this league, obviously. And he completely dominated the matchup. The coaching matchup completely dominated. I think his calls were perfect. I think he knew exactly how Sandy was going to react, what she had in her bag to combat what they were doing. And every single time they hit the variation of the play that would work. Yeah. I'm not going to give all the credit to James Wade, because a lot of that's Courtney Vandersloot, a lot of that's Allie Quigley. A lot of it's just having players who know how to play with each other and know where to and know understand basketball to just be able to flow and play randomly and still get into good sets. And they have a lot of great sets that they run all the time, but they also just kind of flow into things and understand where each other is going to be. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful basketball to watch. And I think we've been really, really lucky in these past few years to see teams that played this style. And I'm not, this is a good stylistic question because I forget who tweeted it and I'm sorry, but someone was tweeting that this is the third straight champion to play a five out system. right? And Chicago, I think, took it even a little further than Seattle did last year and Washington did the year before and Seattle did the year before. So for sure. So they, I think they took it a little further. Do you think this is kind of what you need to win now? Do you need to be a five out team to win a championship?
I think so. I mean, that's what the game on all levels is coming to, right? I think everybody is going to have to be able to stretch the floor. I think that's what, you know, the international flavor has tapped into the game here. And I think that it's beautiful, like you said, to be able to see the flexibility, the versatility of so many players. And you're not just, you know, if you're 6'3" and above, you're on the block. Like, no, like I would have loved to play in a five house.
I know.
I didn't want to have five.
That was my question. Down there. So I was like, I was thinking like Christy would be, you know, she'd be killing it right now. This is her game.
I would love to be a face up, man. And like getting out of the trenches. I like people having elbows in my neck and my back. Come on, man. I appreciate the free flowing spacing of a five out system. And I mean, you're talking about that. I mean, there've been groundbreakers for that way of play. I mean, you're talking about Lauren Jackson, take it all the way back. Yeah. I'm talking about the W25 celebrated this year. I mean, Lauren Jackson was a player who did that first, and you know, Cheryl Miller too. I mean, we take it all the way back. But then when you have players like Candace Parker, Lena Deladon, Tina Charles this year, stretching it out to three, like getting herself out of the trenches and facing up and knocking in shots. Man, I love it. I love it. And then Candace Parker, I'm just going to put this plug out there. She should coach somewhere. And I don't, and I, she has never said that she wanted to do that. So let's get that correct. But the way she was leading the team in that five out system. And yes, James Wade, a remarkable job as a head coach, but the players on the floor too, like you said, Gabe, have to be able to function with a strong understanding of execution and expectations. And when you have a player like Candace Parker, who was mic'd up a ton, which was also fun to see, you could hear her coaching and the things that she was saying, all the little intricacies, that to me was really fun to listen to and watch. And then to see her say it and then to actually see it be executed, that was thrilling for me because I love the game on the really minuscule scale of thought processes. So to hear her lead the team with poise and saying, calm down, even that, like that's not an X and O, but that's like a mentality that she brought to that system, I think was really beautiful to see and watch.
Well, and the other thing is just how much she clearly understands about the game, like her positioning off ball. That's an instructional tape. Like her positioning off ball in this playoffs and for really the last 4 or 5 years of her career, like that's stuff that every player should watch and understand of how you should play off the ball defensively. I think she has a pretty good gig at Turner though. That's not bad.
I know. I know. It's wonderful. I can't wait for her to get back in there because I know they're going to celebrate her as they always do. They just have so much love and respect. And as I always say, you know, you consider the source, like all these NBA guys who have come to the games over this season and all of the seasons and the girl dads and, you know, all the merch that they wear walking into games, like Steph Curry on opening night had on the white hoodie with the W, you know, it's just the love and the respect for me that you see throughout the league. But yeah, I know those TNT guys, Shaq and Kenny, Shaq and Ernie and the whole crew, they're going to love on her when she gets back into studio. And I can't wait to watch that too.
No, I'm super excited to watch it. I'm not sure when she's going to be back and she's going to, so I know, I mean, the older you get, if you ever have just a night of drinking, Candace had a long day and night of drinking. She's gonna need maybe a week. This will be her longest injury of the year, perhaps. Right. This hangover that she's gonna have now.
Yeah, that's fun.
On the five out thing, though, I don't know because so on one side we have Chicago, and clearly they had upper hand in this series, and they played great. But Phoenix is still here, and they definitely don't play a five-out system. Brittany Griner has taken a lot more mid-rangers, and that's been huge for her season. And one of the reasons why she's having such an amazing year is because you have to go out and cover her on the pop, because it's not just an eat. That's not just a shot you want to give up anymore.
Right.
Perhaps she spaces out to three a little bit more. You know, she is someone who consistently works on her game, gets better every year. So if she works on that, adds a three, maybe they become more of a five out team, but they clearly were not this year at the very least. They're playing two traditional ish bigs. Brianna Turner is a little different, but traditional ish in the fact that they did not stretch the floor and they still made it. And I don't know. I just think perhaps there is a lane. If you have a big as good as Brittany Griner, you can play a slightly different system. But if you're a team that doesn't have that big and you got to look around and really ask yourself if you have a big that's an MVP level candidate, then, hey, you're probably going to be better off playing a five out system. I think, you know, most teams that are going to succeed in the future are going to be doing that. And I think most of the teams are set up to succeed in the future. You talk about your New Yorks, talk about your Dallas's, you know, Chicago, if as long as they can keep most of this group together, Seattle, if Brianna Stewart sticks around. Like, those teams play five out, play really stretchy basketball. So that's the teams that probably have a leg up, because you just don't need to have some sort of, you know, supernova once in a generation big to play efficiently enough to win. So yeah, I think the five out revolution is now officially upon us, and that probably the Tina Charles hitting threes. That's the thing that was probably like, hey, okay, guys, everyone go five out. It's time. If she's hitting threes, we all gotta change.
All day long.
So the MVP too. This is the other thing I thought was interesting. Kalia Copper wins the WNBA Finals MVP. Kalia freaking Copper. Incredible in this series. Love it. Love Rutgers getting the shine. However, I think Courtney Vandersloot was the MVP. She was awesome. She was amazing in game four, just in game four. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 15 assists. I'm pretty sure she set the WNBA record for most assists in the playoff run.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What's your take?
Oh man, listen. I don't know who does that voting. Because I'm not involved. I do a lot of voting. I don't do that voting. So I don't know, like, if they had
I think it's the media who's there. Because I think
on site.
Yeah. Didn't you do that for the 2019 finals?
I did not.
Oh, really?
I did not vote on the, but I mean, Meesman got it. I love that Meesman got it. But no, I don't know how they do that. But anyway, no, I wasn't in on that. But I do a lot of the other voting, you know, for the league and college and whatnot, whatever. But I don't know the criteria of finals MVP. Like, if there was like a list of things that they had to check the box for. But listen. And you know, I love me some Kalia Copper, and especially how she played this season, and in particular in the playoffs down the stretch. But guess what? Mm-hmm. I mean, man, without Courtney Vandersloot, that team is a totally different squad. I don't care who else you put out there to run the one. Mm-mm. That team doesn't win without Sloot. And I know with Copper, you can say the same thing. Well, they won't win without Copper either. Okay. And there are people out there who think that as well. But listen, I know that I've seen a lot of basketball. And we have seen a lot of basketball, Gabe, sitting here courtside. Listen, I know that you have to have a bona fide point guard to win. When it comes to postseason play, it's about guard play, period. And it's not just all the guards, and we're talking about five out system. It's not all five of y'all. Mm-hmm. It's about who can set the team up. 15 assists. Let me tell you, without those, hey, take half of those assists away, they lose. Okay? 15 assists. She's a magician. She is surgical. She was phenomenal. And she's my MVP of the finals. And I love Kalia Copper. And this is no shade, trust and believe. And she knows it because Kalia knows I love her. So it's not personal. But when you're talking about the overall scheme of things, man, it's loot for me on that. I just look at it as if you take the player off the floor, what kind of impact? Who has the most impact in their absence? And for me, it would be Courtney Vandersloot. And that's how I decide.
No, it's tough because it does sound, you know, we don't want to take anything away from Kalia Copper. She was unbelievable. She deserves the MVP.
No doubt.
I just think Courtney Vandersloot was more valuable in this series. And it was something you said. You said she was surgical.
Yes.
And it was like right after you said she was always making the right play. I think there's a mix, right? Like you get, when you have point guards, you have the ones that are more creative and, you know, can just create things out of nowhere. And there's some, typically this end, you get a little bit more turnovers. You get a little bit, it's a little harder to coach, right? Cause it's just like, okay, they may do something different. I would put, you know, I don't know. Chelsea Gray, although Chelsea Gray is also surgical, but she I think she leans more on the creative side. Just like, I'm going to do some weird stuff and make some bad passes, but it's going to work out in the end. Then you have the players that are more surgical who always make the right play. Put, you know, Scott Wigan-Smith here. Or if you want to get to the men's side, Chris Paul here. Players who make the right play all the time. Vandersloot's right in the middle. And that's what makes her so freaking special, is that she, you know, combines that creativity with, you know, you see her with the game on the line to ice the finals. Yeah. She's going to stop, hold the ball out. A dream. I guess this isn't a dream shake. I don't know.
No, it was a dream shake.
It's a dream shake. She did the dream shake with the finals on the line as the point guard coming into the lane on Brittany freaking Griner, who has that idea. But then throughout the fourth quarter, she's also hitting the perfect pass, the perfect moment, calling the perfect play. If a play doesn't work, she brings everyone back out and she waits for everyone to get set up. There's patience. It was beautiful. It was just perfect, man. It was absolute perfect point guard play. And then I do have a question here, because I remember we did a podcast last season talking about Chelsea Gray versus Courtney Vandersloot.
Right.
Well, Chelsea Gray, there's no disrespect here to anybody, but I think Courtney Vandersloot has to be our best point guard in WNBA. By, you know, there's some daylight between her and the rest of the pack, I'd say, at this point.
I agree. And I just think, you know, the fact that she led the WNBA once again in assist all season long, you know, in spite of the injuries that Chicago incurred early on, guess what? She was still able to make plays for the team and lead the league in assist. So when you have a player like that who understands her team, the way that she understands her team, I think that she has been underrated for many years. In that regard, I know, you know, the little jump ins that they were doing on the broadcast, you could tell that, you know, she's put in that work. She said that Pokey Chapman early on in Chicago had her doing the extra work. And I mean, I played against Pokey Chapman. Now, she was a killer point guard and very similar, right, in terms of her attack, her poise and composure. So, you know, give credit to Pokey Chapman there of when she was young in her WNBA career, early on in her WNBA career, she let her know what she needed to do to be who she is right now. And and now you're seeing the fruits of that labor with the ring on her hand with the championship. So I just think that I don't want to say it's a thankless job, you know?
Yeah.
To be able to be that player for your team and set everyone else up and the selflessness that comes along with that role. But if there's anybody this season that just captured and embraced that role, it is definitely Courtney Vandersloot. And I think if you're a point guard and you're listening to this and you're a youngster or you're coaching youngsters, you need to study Courtney Vandersloot and the decisions that she makes on the court, because, I mean, she is just a phenomenal conductor of the game.
No, and players at any level, you know, there's, I mean, we mentioned the TNT guys, but I also like Kyle Lowry's watching. And I know, yeah. And from what Natasha Cloud has told us, like he watches this game to get stuff for him. And it is just an amazing example of what you should be as a point guard, what you should do for your team. And one little thing I love that she does, and I just want to mention this, like she gets the offense going at 22. Yeah. Like she gets, but 2 seconds into the shot clock, they're down the court. They're running an offense.
Yeah.
And I just, that's huge for a team to get more bites at the apple, to get more possessions. Like playing with pace is not all about just being in transition, getting out on the break. Playing with pace is a way you run your offense. And I don't think anybody does it better than Courtney Vandersloot. I mean, 15 assists, one turnover.
My man.
And her defense. Another thing I want to mention about Courtney Vandersloot, her defense is awesome. Her defense is awesome. She's not like she can get overpowered. There are players that can take advantage of her, sure. But the way she plays defense, she stays in front of you. You're not going to get anything super easy. And you better be careful with that ball because she has extremely quick hands and she knows where you're going to go with it. She has a lot of what I call Shane Battier steals, where it's just hand right there. Not because she's using your momentum, your movement to get the ball loose.
Right.
She's awesome. She's awesome. MVP of my heart.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, would agree, especially in Chicago. Listen, they know without Sloot, they don't win.
Don't go. And without Steph Dolson, they don't win either. I give our big girl some love.
Big Mama Steph. We love you, Steph.
She made two of the biggest buckets in the WNBA Finals clinching game.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have seen this for
Amazing.
Steph Dolson? Who has
Amazing.
Seen this for Steph Dolson?
She would have.
Indeed. And she succeeded again in getting more people mad at her during the game, which I love. I love Steph Dolson. She's one of my favorite players. Do you want to talk about where these teams go from here? Because we can look at their stat sheets, their salary cap sheets here on herhoopstats.com, where you can get all of the salary cap information that you're going to need for the WNBA offseason. I highly suggest you go and check us out. Also, go follow us at herhoopstats on Twitter. Go follow us at herhoopstats on Twitter, on Instagram. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube video up there with the two of us. Follow me on Twitter at Gabe_Ibrahim. Best place to keep up with me. And Chrissy, you can do your own plug this time. I won't do it.
Oh, let me plug away at Christy, Christy W Scott 51 on Twitter and Instagram. All hoops all the time. Sprinkling up my babies. I have 3 teenagers. So yeah, they're on there a little bit too.
Ooh, and it's getting close to college season, guys. Can't wait to see Christy at these Georgetown games.
Oh boy.
is a fan gonna get a technical? We'll find out.
I don't think so. I'm gonna try my best. I'm gonna be a cheer mom. I'm gonna, you know, do my best.
we will find out shortly. But first, I do want to talk a little bit about these team salary cap sheets. So for Chicago, pretty much everyone's a free agent. So we got Vandersloot, Quigley, Copper, Dolson. Diamond the Shield is restricted. The other ones I mentioned are unrestricted.
Yeah.
Stu Dufall is unrestricted free agent. And then we have Lexi Brown, who's a restricted free agent. So lots of moving pieces. Obviously, they have a lot of cap space because a lot of these players are getting money now. You got to think Vandersloot and Quigley are going to be back. I can't imagine Chicago not bringing them back.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's a lot of money that we just took off the board. I think there's going to be a decision here between Steph Dolson and Kalia Copper. It is tough because I love Steph Dolson. I just got done telling you how much I love Steph Dolson.
Yeah.
But you ain't letting Kalia Copper go now.
No, that's tough. Listen, I mean, they came there together in the trade for Elena Deladon to DC. Mm-hmm. They were both with the Washington Mystics, got drafted to DC. And then now here we are trying to make a decision between the two. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad I don't have to make it. Listen, I'm glad I don't have to make that choice. But, yeah, Kalia Copper right now, yeah, they're not going to let her go. And I hope there's a way that they can keep both of them mm-hmm. because of the continuity and chemistry that was created this season. but it's tough with the business side of things. Like, it's all warm and fuzzy emotionally, but when you get down to the tactical business side of things, that's when it gets dicey and tough decisions have to be made, unfortunately. So I, you know, would definitely be keeping an eye on that situation in Chicago.
I don't have exact figures for you guys. I will work on getting that stuff out just to get some scenarios here as to what could happen. But I'm guessing that's what it's going to come down to, is Steph Dolson or Kali Copper. And that decision's a little easy right now in favor of Copper, because she just won the finals MVP. It's a little difficult, tough sell. But I think Steph Dolson will have plenty of offers. I was actually thinking about just numerous places that she could go,
for sure.
And
for
where she'd fit. I think in New York is a team that I would like to throw out there as a good fit for her, because she fits into these five out systems, and she's a great player. But yeah, Kalia Copper gonna get the bag. Picked a really great time to win the finals MVP.
Of course,
a really, 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 really good time.
She did.
For Phoenix. You know, we didn't get super into them, other than how disappointed they were. I don't think there's much you could take away from this game four, other than it's going to motivate the hell out of them. It's going to motivate Diana Taurasi. It's going to motivate Skylar Diggins-Smith. All of these players, and Brittany Griner, as we know, has been unbelievable. And we just talked about her. So this team also has a lot of challenges, though.
Right.
They do not have a lot of cap space. Everyone outside of Kia Nurse, Sophie Cunningham, Shea Petty, and Alana Smith are under contract. Shea Petty's a reserve free agent, which means she can't negotiate with other teams. Most likely, she'll be back on a minimum contract for next year. Alana Smith is an unrestricted free agent, but that was by design. I don't think she's coming back. Then we have Kia Nurse. And figuring out what Kia Nurse's market is going to be huge. And figuring out if she can play next year. Because it was a torn ACL, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, right? 30 seconds into the game. Oh my gosh, early in the final. So that was crucial and super sad. But I know she's a hard worker and she's going to get herself back and healthy.
Yeah. The question is, though, I mean, Phoenix just went through a year without Bria Hartley.
Yeah.
And it really hurt them. And she came back and actually did some decent things down the finals, but she clearly, I mean, she literally popped up in the playoffs. Like, she's not going to be ready to play after the injury she suffered last year. And I think Kia Nurse can be a similar situation if she can even get back for next year's playoffs. So the question is for Phoenix, like, how do you handle that situation? Because you were banking on having Kia Nurse's restricted rights as a big part of why you traded your first round pick. This offseason, that first round pick's not that high, so it doesn't hurt you that much. But you do have to figure out a way to get more bodies on this team. I don't really know where they're going to turn. I mean, maybe Raquana Williams is a good fit there, but it's really tough because Nurse was just really great fit for what they had going on, especially when Bria Hartley comes back. So I don't know. I don't know where this team goes. And my question here to you, Christy, and you know how I love putting you on the spot.
Great.
Which one of these teams is more likely to get back to the finals next year? Not which one, I'm not asking you if they're going to do it.
Right.
But which one is more likely to you to get back to the finals next year?
Man, I'm going to go with Chicago with that. I mean, all of the things that you just mentioned about the salary cap in Phoenix and the health or lack thereof of some key pieces for them. I just see Chicago riding this momentum into next season. And I think they're going to lock in the players they need to lock in with Vanderquigs and Copper and obviously Parker. And I just think that they're going to have the most continuity. But I think it all is predicated upon, you know, health, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, and I hate saying that because it's like, you know, it's
every such year.
It's such a given, but when you're looking at what Phoenix is faced with right now with Kia Nurse with the ACL and then Bria Hartley, like you said, coming back from that kind of injury and then Diana Taurasi. I mean, we haven't even really speculated or prognosticated about what she may do. And, you know, she said, there's no way that she doesn't. But at the same time, there's always a possibility that she says, you know what, it's been a fun ride and I'm 39 and, you know, and she kind of alluded to that when they did do their exit interviews. And she said, you know, we have a great core of players, you know, have Cunningham and all these guys are like 23, 24 years old. And here I am 39. So I think she's kind of having like a self-actualization moment right now where she's just in a reflective mode. And she did say, I have 8 months to figure it out. But I don't think by any means that she has stated that she is definitively coming back and returning next year. And when she does, if she does do that, she'll be like Sue Bird, you know, 40, but still killing the game. So, I mean, age is a number. We get that. But she was also saying she hasn't sprained her ankle since high school and she came down on someone's foot randomly in the postseason this year, you know, and hurt herself. And then her sternum, she said, who does that? You know, so, yeah. You know, so I think it's just, you know, a lot of the wear and tear and some of it's age, but some of it's, you know, obviously the wear and tear of just the, all of the games and experiences that that she's had throughout her amazing career. I mean, so that'll be interesting too. So I, you know, that's why I'm going with Chicago, but I mean, there's so many intangible things that are left to be seen for Phoenix that it's hard to go with them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's tough. I do think Diana Taurasi is coming back because, and I mean this in the best possible way. She's one of those maniacs, you know, she's a Kobe type. She's a Jordan type. She's, one of those maniacs who is going to, you know, I don't think she's going to go out like that. You know, and so I just think she's coming back. I just really, really do.
Yeah.
That being said, I am with you. I think it's Chicago just because they play that five out system. They have, you know, even with the same health they had this year, clearly they can turn it on in the finals. And this is a thing that Zach Lowe talks a lot about on the NBA side. Just when you win a championship, your entire outlook changes.
Yeah.
I think we see that really often in basketball. When you win a championship, something clicks a little differently for this group of people and for the players on the team. And you start having more confidence, and obviously confidence is not an issue for this team. I'm just saying you feel like you can do more. You feel like you have more togetherness. You feel like you've been through something that really mattered and you see what it took to get to the mountaintop and that changes you as a team, as a unit. And I think that makes you better going forward. You had that championship medal.
Right.
And actually, we've seen that with Phoenix, frankly. You know,
yeah.
I don't think they get here without those years that Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner spent together with Sandy Brondello winning championships.
Right.
They don't get there without that experience. So I think it changes something in a team. I think they'll be better next year. I'm not sure they'll get back to the finals just because basketball is weird and weird things can happen. But I do think they'll be right back in the mix. Whereas I could see Phoenix potentially falling off, but I'm not going to say that in front of Diana Taurasi. So she doesn't listen. Hey. She doesn't listen to this podcast. She's got better things to do.
I don't know. She could. You never know. But, you know, the whole dynamic of the finals this year, I think, you know, I know that it was stated a couple of times, but Sandy Brondello and her husband, Olaf Lange, you know, Olaf Lange is an assistant for the Chicago Sky.
Yeah.
And obviously Sandy Brondello, head coach in Phoenix. And she said, you know, she's going to give it a couple days and then she'll celebrate with him, I guess. But I'm sure that, it's already hard enough. How does that work in the household? And then you got two little kids in the house too, their little daughter and son. And I'm sure they're like, Mom, did you see Dad's ring or something like that?
Because
you know how kids are, man, and they don't know. And it's they're not digging at you, but they're just
they might be
innocent.
Digging at you. I would do
well,
that.
Well, maybe, but they don't know that they are. That's the thing with kids. But I can just see, mommy, daddy's ring is here. Oh, like I don't know. She's just gonna have so many like daggers in the household. Yeah. Golly, I couldn't imagine that. Listen, I don't know how she's going to do that, but you know, that's not discussed enough either. What that probably feels like. And then for him, like he wants to celebrate, but he doesn't want to, you know, damage his wife's emotional state. Like,
what's I think he should do? He should just stay in Chicago for a few days. Just take a little vacation.
Windy City. Yeah.
They split up the kids for the post for this series. So, you know, one of the kids just stays over there and then you hang out later in a week
the
or
parade.
So.
Yeah, the parade and all that. Like, Sandy's not going to that, man. Like, you know, they have the parade. Yeah. She's not there. Like, that's crazy. The kids are there, though. And I don't know. It's just that would be hard to handle.
I will say, though, there was so much respect on that floor after the game.
There was.
And you could tell that was really big. That was really big of Phoenix. Not that we don't expect that. We do expect that because that's what we expect from the athletes that we watch. But mm-hmm. I thought to do that when you're so heartbroken and you're so hurt, and they clearly were, to go and make sure that you congratulate the other team and show them the respect that they deserve. That's awesome. That's exactly what sports is all about. So I think there is a ton of mutual respect, but yeah, I don't think Sandy's going to be celebrating.
No.
Olaf for a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. Yeah. That's tough. And that's always hard. We've seen it, you know, across sports, right? The congratulatory handshakes after, and Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith in particular were the ones that were in the view of the camera, and maybe other players did it as well, but they were on them, kind of spotlighted them, hugging every single player for Chicago and congratulating them. So yeah, kudos to them. Cause my stomach was tight when I saw that, you know, I'm an empath. So I try to feel what other people are feeling, and I'm sure that was tough. But they did it, and they did it with class and grace. So kudos to them for that, for sure.
Yeah, no, it was really big of them. I do want to move on to not only college basketball, but a surprise topic that I have not told you about yet. Do you have anything else in the finals?
Oh, man. I love the entire emotion of the city of Chicago celebrating Allie Quigley, you know, coming from that area and then playing at DePaul, and then Candace Parker growing up there and then coming back, and just like LeBron did to Cleveland. I don't know. For me, it's always going to be the sentimental part and the X's and O's. That's always the fun and the, you know, the creativity and the competition level. I get it. But when you see someone roll the dice and win, like Candace Parker did, you know, to come back home and to see the high school pictures of Candace Parker and Allie Quigley, and Allie Quigley as a little girl in her driveway getting buckets, and she was like 6 or 7 years old. And then to see her win a championship in her city, in their city, with their families and their high school coaches and their, you know, their teammates from high school and college in the building. Man, there's nothing like that. So for me, it's always going to supersede the actual game. It's always going to be about the emotion and the connections and the family and the love that was really exemplified in the closing minutes of that game. And I was in tears. I know everybody was in tears. I was smiling. I'm not like sobbing, like boo-hoo crying, but I was like, that's amazing. And you're talking about what sports is all about. That's what it's all about too. Like the connections that are made over the years, the journey of it. And just how you just keep your head down, like Candace Parker said, and you keep going, and people are always going to have something to say about you or to you. And, you know, that's not a good choice or whatever, but just do you, like, follow your heart. And for me, that's always going to be what stands out about this particular series and this particular championship for Chicago.
I think the thing that's going to stick with me the most, outside of this entire finals run, because it was awesome. It was a great playoffs. But the thing I think we're going to take with us is this quote that I have up behind me right here. Let time tell your story.
There it is.
I thought that was a really special quote from Candace Parker, of understanding that your story is not written, first off, until it's written, right? Yeah. You don't know where it's going. Yeah. And secondly, that you don't need to tell people who you are. You're great deeds. You just got to do them. And, you know, eventually time will get back to you. I thought that was a really, really special thing. And I think it's the thing that's going to stick with me after these postseason. Because great, you know, I get a lot of my life wisdom from basketball players. And I think that's one of the best nuggets you'll ever.
And I'm wiping a tear right now because it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. It's the life lessons at the end of the day.
Yeah. All right. Now we're moving on to The Bachelorette, because that's what I want to talk about. All right. The Bachelorette last night. First episode of the season. All right. This is why we're talking about The Bachelorette. If you don't watch it, it's a dating show. If you don't know what The Bachelorette is, I don't understand how you interact with American culture. But The Bachelorette this year is Michelle Young. She is an elementary school teacher. She's sweet and beautiful and classy, and I really enjoy her. I've enjoyed her on The Bachelorette. What I did not know, how good of a freaking basketball player she was. She went to Bradley. Honorable mention, all NBC in 2013. She was in the 90th percentile. 90th percentile for steals in the country each of her last 3 years at Bradley. She holds the school record for most points in the game with 38. And she put up 32 points against Illinois in an upset win in her junior year.
Oh, boy.
What?
She's a bucket? What?
How did this not come up in her last season of The Bachelor? And she was on the season of The Bachelor. We had to hear all about how this guy was like a backup wide receiver at Wake Forest.
Wow.
And she is an unbelievable basketball player. And she really like is so good. I was tweeting about this, and then like some people from the NBC were like, yeah, she was excellent.
Oh my God.
I checked out her hoop stats page, and you can find out everything on that. So just wanted to tell people, if you haven't watched, this might be the year to get into The Bachelorette if you're not. Do you watch The Bachelorette? I'm guessing you don't.
I have before, but I don't follow it religiously like that, like just boom, boom every week or however often it comes on. I do know about it. So I'm in touch with American culture, but I don't track it.
You're aware that it exists.
I mean, I know it's there. But now I will pay closer attention, because not only is she a bucket, she's a stopper too. Let me find out. Yeah, I'm going to investigate. I'm going to go on the Her Hoop Stats, you know, website, look it up a little bit, yeah, see what he was talking about.
Anyone from Bradley that is listening to this, hit me up with some tape. We will make videos of it. We got you.
Yeah, we need to let people know.
There's one other thing I have to mention. In the previews for the rest of the season of The Bachelorette, I caught a glimpse of all the men and her playing basketball. They do these things where they have like little events. One time Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out. It was really cool. Another time, several WNBA players came out, but that was before I watched. This year, I can confirm, based on the previews, I took a screenshot. Diamond the Shield is in it. I'm guessing the Chicago Sky are in this.
Oh, wow.
They're
just going to show up and play?
Yeah. They did this with the Celtics a few years back, too. It's like they show up and they play, and then the players will give a little bit of advice to The Bachelorette. It's really great. I'm super excited because I'm sure Diamond's going to be hilarious with these men, because she's not going to give him any leash. I don't know who else is involved. I think it's going to be really funny. I'm guessing Lexi Brown is involved. Just as a guess. I don't know. But I'm very, very excited. So just saying, if this is not your year, if you have never been into The Bachelorette, perhaps it's time to check it out. I'll be giving you guys updates. Don't worry.
I have to buckle down and get on that now. Thanks, Gabe, for that tip.
One thing she said that was really sweet too was, I was always the first person picked to play basketball, but always the last one picked for prom.
Oh my God,
I would have taken you to prom, but you're too tall for me because I'm too short.
Oh yeah. I mean, I got picked for basketball, and I went to the prom too, so I got to do both. So that was good.
But yeah, Michelle Young, just very excited for your time as The Bachelorette, and I'm looking forward to what happens, all the good things, all the hopeful good things. She also had to send one guy home. This is an aside. She also had to send one guy home because he brought a bunch of notes of like how to get more airtime on The Bachelorette. And he just had they found them. And he like had a bunch of notes of like what to say and what to do. And it was like, had nothing to do with her. And I was like,
good. Right. That's like those steals, she's ruthless on the defensive ends, playing a little defense there and like get rid of that one.
No, she did. I'm telling you, she's cool. I'm a big fan of Michelle Young. Let's get into basketball, more basketball, very briefly. I will say my laptop is about that. So, top 25 came out, AP. Let's see. We got South Carolina, UConn, Stanford, Maryland at 4, NC State at 5. Then we have a bunch of other teams here. But yeah. Christy, tell me what your reaction is to... Oh, wait, I can look up your vote. That's right.
Thanks, Gabe.
But yes, Christy, tell us about what you thought of the top 25.
Well, I will say that my top 10 were pretty on par with mm-hmm. what everyone else was thinking as AP voter again this year. Honored for that. But it is quite tough when you have teams that, you know, have the transfer portal both in and out, right? So there are mm-hmm. so many things to factor as you're going through the teams and the votes. But when you're looking at the teams in the top five, let's say, a lot of players returning.
Yeah.
A lot of players returning. I mean, there are no seniors for Connecticut. South Carolina, one tip in away from advancing in the postseason last year. I mean, they have everybody back just about. I mean, Maryland brings back all five starters. Yeah. NC State, same deal. I mean, you just go down the line and it's like, it's almost like a redo of this year in the top 10. And I think that's going to be extremely exciting to watch. I mean, I think, you know, with the Big Ten, which I cover, having six teams in, I know Michigan State is receiving votes, but five teams in the top 25 of Michigan State, that's 16 receiving votes. I think when you're looking at all those teams, I mean, Indiana returns everybody. Right. Oh, my gosh. And they're in the top 10. Iowa with the Caitlin Clark, the freshman of the year last year mm-hmm. and just, you know, phenomenal connections inside, you know, with my girl, Cezano. I just think it's going to be fun to see how this list looks and morphs as the season goes along. And then you have Michigan, too, that, you yeah. know, is just phenomenal with Naz Hillman and company. And it's just going to be fun to see how these teams in the top 10 stay there or how that shuffles around. But, you know, there was a lot of flippage with South Carolina and Connecticut at 1 and 2, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go South Carolina on top. I'm with you there. I just think they, mm-hmm. you know, look, if they really can get the breaks and put it together, they're the best team in the country, just flat out. Like, they have the most talent. So I'm with you in South Carolina. I think Connecticut's very good too. I love Maryland. I know we talked about them last year, and I'm not going to put too much pressure on them. I put too much pressure on them last year, and they completely ruined my bracket. But I think I really, really like Maryland this year, and I really like. I really, really think they're going to be something special. I think Stanford's going to be better too than the people think, even though they're at 3. I just think. You know, I think people are kind of expecting to fall off a little bit, but I don't see them falling off. I also really love you putting FGCU at 24. That's a really good team.
Carl Semesco mm-hmm. is a boy. And not because of this. This is not why I voted for them. But Carl Semesco is the head coach there. And we actually coached at Maryland together as mm-hmm. assistant coaches before he left to go down there. But he's done such a phenomenal job. And there's so many coaches from his coaching tree, the players that he's coached now that are coaching. I just love his style of play down there too, but they're always a problem for teams and they just know how to play. So it's fun to see him do so well,
no.
But absolutely. He's definitely coaching a top 25 team.
Yeah. No, we'll have a ton of time to discuss this too. Can't wait. We're not going to do a podcast next week because I need a 1 week break, but
decompress.
We'll have stuff on YouTube. We'll be doing video stuff and all that. So make sure you go to YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It means a lot to me personally, if you like me. And if you don't like me, you'll get great content anyway. So, and follow us on Twitter. And that's all I got to say, because my laptop's about to die and I don't know why it's not charging. So I have many questions for my technology, but I had a great time.
Yeah, super awesome, Gabe, as always. And we'll see you next time right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We'll check you out next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.